This is CJSF 90.1 FM, and you're tuning into our super summer programming. I'm Hallelujah.
And I'm Stella. And together, we'll be highlighting the queer community, environmental issues, and upcoming local events.
Stay tuned for interviews, discussion, and music from our collections.
Burnaby is located on the ancestral and stolen territories of the Halkomelem and Squamish-speaking peoples, the lands that they have cared for since time immemorial. Today I'm here with Chimgi, the creator behind the one and only Instagram page Hot Mother Truckers. Can you introduce yourself to our listeners and tell them a little bit about you?
Hi, I'm Chimgi, and I am the creator and current curator of Hot Mother Truckers.
So I've been following your account for a while, and I've gone to quite a few events that you post, but for those who aren't so familiar, can you just explain what you do?
Yeah, so Hot Mother Truckers started out as like weekly listings. So it's like a curated post of 9 events that I think are the hottest and coolest of the week. And I think over time, so I've done that every week consistently. I think I've only missed a few weeks here and there, but that has been taking place since like December 2021. So it's actually been a lot of posts. And now I'm glad to say that it also functions as sort of like an archive. So you can kind of look back to any week from then on and see what was happening in the city. And most of the events are like the page I created with an intention to prioritize QT BIPOC events first and foremost, and also any events that seem cool and sweet as well. So pretty broad. When I first started, there was like nothing quite like it. And yeah, I love looking and sharing. And that is kind of what the Hot Mother Truckers function is and what it started out as. But now we have started to do monthly events as well, so that there's like a nice consistent time and date for events in the city, even if there's not a consistent space, which is like a hard issue in this place as well. But yeah, just providing some type of consistency and stability for like our community, I felt was really important to add to what the page offers, especially since now I have like a team of volunteers, and so they can help support those events, because running one person events, the outcome is awesome, but I mean, not the result is always nice to see people enjoy it, but it's hard.
Yeah, I bet. And as you mentioned, feels like your account does fill like a gap in the awareness of Vancouver's like DIY events or those that are created by equity denied communities like QT BIPOC. And I was wondering like what was the inspiration behind starting your account? If there's anything like specifically that spurred you into action?
Yeah, I think that when I left university, I wasn't really aware of anything, like any like queer events in the city or any groups, maybe just kind of the bigger, well-funded ones, right? But not anything like local or DIY. And then I think I went to my like first, this is when the Birdhouse was the warehouse, but I went to my first like warehouse event for Halloween, and it was my first like queer nightlife experience. And I was like, why is this a million times better? And just, yeah, and just like safe and like everyone, oh, for the most part, like safer, but yeah, like everyone was just like, it felt so different from like going to like straight nightlife where like you feel weird standing out, versus I feel like in queer nightlife you are like celebrated for it and people love it, you know, we're all eating it up and we're enjoying it. And so like that was such a positive experience in my like early adulthood that I was like, wait, like why don't more people know about these places? Like why have I lived here for like, I don't know, like 10 years, and this is the first time I'm going to one of these events? And so that was kind of the moment that spurred me on. Yeah, so once I went to that, I started to find like more and more orgs and like smaller groups too that were doing similar things that are not just nightlife, but just like hanging out or like different social and like political activities. And so, yeah, once I started pulling the thread, I was like, there is so, so much in this city that so many people are working on. And I was like, it needs to be seen. And even though that, yeah, it needs to be seen, and it's not on Facebook and it's just on Instagram. This is when Facebook events was just like mostly starting to die. And like there was seldom events still posted on it. But yeah, anyway, that is the inciting incident for me. And I also wanted to like have a place where I could practice my art form, like doing a graphic every week. Sometimes feels like a lot, but it feels good to maintain like a consistent practice. And it's nice because the posts, it can look like whatever I want it to look like. There's no real strict brand guidelines, and so I think that's also always fun to do.
Yeah, I didn't realize you did the graphics as well. That's so cool. Nice. Yeah, a lot of the events you post are really cool, and I would not have heard about them otherwise. I mean, your page is also a great resource to find more political events and get organized in some ways, like, you know, a protest for no AI data centers in Vancouver. And I was wondering if there's a reason behind featuring these types of gatherings, because I think it is very needed that people know about these as well.
Totally. I mean, I think the political is like just such a big part of all of our lives. I think that obviously some groups are impacted more than others. And it's just like, yeah, it's a part of our lives and it affects our lives. I don't know, it just felt kind of, it felt like a natural need to include it because it's like, it's relevant. Part of who the page is for is like, what I like to say is like hot and caring people. Like you wanna go to things, you wanna meet people, or you know, you wanna have like low-key events as well, but like you also care a lot. And kind of that is who the page is really intended for, like that audience. Like, yes, like QT BIPOC folks, and then also just other allies that are cool and care, you know? And I think that they would wanna know, you know, if these things are happening and where they're happening. And yeah, I think it's even more important that we feature political events just because there are, since I started, there have been a lot of different like weekly listing accounts that have popped up. Really what I want to say is like, I don't see the political events being promoted as much by a lot of pages, you know, like they don't really get that extra share or that boost by bigger pages. And I think that that's really important to do with the audience. Yeah.
Yeah. And those are some of the events that we actually like desperately need people to attend and be at to actually make a difference. So
Yeah.
Last year you started organizing Hot Mother Truckers Hangouts as a monthly series. I'm curious if that's related to the lack of community in Vancouver or if there's anything specifically that motivated you to start these monthly hangouts.
Yeah. Definitely when it comes to like lack of low cost or like free community activities, like it is hard to come by. I know there's so many groups that are doing similar things, and I do really try to focus on highlighting those events that have less barriers to attend. I respect, you know, if people want to get I respect people wanting to get paid a good amount for their work, so I'm not poo-pooing anyone who's like charging like upwards of 30 for an event, but it's like it makes it hard, like that's limiting, you know, that's limiting the folks that can come. So I think adding to the low cost and free events that are available in the city was important to me. And then as well, because Hot Mother Truckers does have a following and does have like a good reputation, I was like, okay, we can also do this, you know, and like people feel like we're welcoming, and we are, you know. And so I was like, I feel like we're in a position to be able to provide this. And as well with like putting the call out for a volunteer team, I'm like, now we have more of like the capacity to do that. And so those two factors. And then as well, I think like something that's hard is like feeling I think part of feeling like you belong to like a group or a community is having somewhere to like go to regularly, or like you see these people regularly, and it feels like consistent and it feels stable. And I think that's something that is hard to come by in the city, this feeling of stability. I mean, we see it with like every venue that shuts down, you know, and like it's overturned, or like orgs that get burnt out. And then, you know, like there's so much turnover, I think, in the Vancouver like event organizing DIY like scene. And it makes sense just because it's like, it's an expensive city to live in, let alone do like a lot of additional work, like unpaid labor as well. There's not a lot of support from the city when it comes to arts and culture, DIY spaces, and it's ever rescinding, you know? So I think it is a really harsh landscape to do this sort of thing. And that's why I have so much admiration for the groups and the orgs that still do it and continue to do it. That's why it is really important to have something that's like reliable and comes at a certain time every single month. And you know to expect it, you can, yeah, and they can be kind of a part of you feeling rooted in the city. And so, yeah, I think we just wanted to be a part of like contributing to that, or be a potential place where someone could start to feel that.
Yeah, that's so true. I think so many people in Vancouver are struggling to have enough money to go out and connect with their friends or their family even. Yeah, the DIY spaces, you know, there's more and more crackdowns on them and everything too. So for people who are like interested, who are listening, you do have some upcoming events in August, right?
Yes. So there is an event that we scheduled due to the forecast of rain, and it is a Rila Kuma picnic. And I don't know if we all know who Rila Kuma is, but he's that big bear. I think he's from that Sanrio family.
Nice.
But he's always just like relaxing, you know, that's his thing. And so Kat, who is Track ID, they're a DJ, they came to us with this idea, and I was like, okay, let's do it, you know? So the picnic will be on, we haven't announced the new dates, but I think it'll be on August 16th. And it'll feature like a little trinket trade, a bake sale, and just, yeah, regular picnic fun. And then the other event is just the weekend after. It's with Unit Pit, which is the gallery in Kitsilano near like Chewy's Biscuits. Which is, it's just like such a beautiful, beautiful gallery with an incredible garden space. So we will be doing a sun printing, which is also known as like anthotype printing workshop, along with some typewriters. So we'll just be doing some like reflective writing. But you can also just type whatever you want on a typewriter just because it's fun. But yeah, so I'm really excited for that with Unit Pit as well. Yeah, so those are our two main ones coming up, and then we will have something every month. I think it's gonna be really fun, and it's fun to collaborate with other folks in the community, and it's also fun to have different people on the event team like lead with their own event ideas. My initial volunteer call out was like, I want your event dreams to come true, and so I'm happy that we're doing it.
So those are on the fourth weekend of every month, right?
Yeah, cool. The picnic is just at a different date just because we had to postpone, but yeah.
Nice. Is there any final words you have to say?
Anything else that I have to say? I think, yeah, something that I think I said when I first started the page, or as I kind of, yeah, went through the years of running the page, it is like first and foremost, like, a continuing love letter to all of the organizers and the artists and like the community members that make these events possible or these spaces possible. And I think I'm a bit of like an archive nerd, and so I love the fact that that's what this is becoming as well. And I love that people can use it as like a jumping off point. Like, it's mostly for like discovery, right? Like, you don't have to stay with Hot Mother Truckers. It will be awesome if you do, and only benefits ahead. But I love that people can just find the groups that they really resonate with from the page and then go forth with that information. Yeah.
And that concludes the end of that interview I did with Chimki. Be sure to check out Hot Mother Truckers on Instagram and keep up to date with local community events. And yeah, the next hangout that they're doing is on August 16th, so be sure to keep an eye out for that this coming weekend.
Hello, everybody. This is Hallelujah here. That was just an interview that Stella did with the, I guess, event organizer of Hot Mother Truckers, which does a lot of local events. But I'm here live in studio. We broadcast on the unceded ancestral territories of the Coquitlam, Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh peoples. You can listen back to anything on the CGSF website, cgsf.ca, or on our radio app that you can download on the App Store or Google Store, depending on your device. Keep up to date on our social media, on our link tree, and learn more by visiting our website. So, I mentioned, we're live in studio right now, and we have some very special guests. You guys want to say hi?
Hello. Hello.
introduce yourself by name. This is an audio format we have over here.
I'm Riley.
I'm Kalar.
We're from Sour Dope.
Perfect. So, Sour Dope is a lovely band that is based out here in our lovely Pacific Northwest, yeah. Or lower mainland area, and I'm just going to read their bio over here. Sour Dope splashes toasty horn melodies together with grooving rhythm sections and sparkly guitar textures, drawing inspiration from great instrumental fusion acts such as the Budos, Yusef Days, Lettuce, Krongman, sorry, I can't read, Bonobo, and Flamingosis, with the Pacific Northwestern shores of BC as their backdrop. Sour Dope brings the ebb and flow of the tides to every stage as the trumpet and saxophone glow together in evocative melodies over ever-fluid beats. There's something for every listener to find themselves lost in. I love that. That's a good bio.
It's long, man. We definitely could.
That was not written by AI. It was written by me. 100%
human. I feel like, for context, I do music as well to our listeners. I can't remember what festival it was, one of my first festivals. It was Music Waste,
yeah.
That I booked. I think they did like a couple sentence bios for every band, and they went like youthful, effervescent, and banging, something like that, youthful, ethereal, banging. And I've used that on every press bio.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Like, I think 6 years. Yeah.
Just add effervescent.
That's a good word, I think, to add on in the Pacific Northwest thing. I hadn't even looked at your bio before I'd said that. Nice. I just felt that aura. Yeah. Of the music I've been listening to. So, you're just coming off and finishing off some local dates, and you've just been touring like mad people.
Yeah, a little bit. We've been doing a lot of just kind of weekend things, nothing too crazy yet, but yeah, local dates, weekend things, right around towners.
Yeah.
It's been a lucky season. We got a lot of little festival gigs just throughout the lower mainland, so we've been doing those, and it's been nice.
Yeah. Tomorrow, you're at Chilliwack Mural Fest in New West. Pride?
Yeah, both gigs. It's actually a little scary because they're only like an hour and a half apart, and it's like an hour and a half drive. So.
We got this.
Pray yeah, for hopefully us. There's no speed traps on the road.
I believe in y'all, not getting trapped in traffic.
Yeah. So that's been nice. That's definitely been a goal. The band is not been around actually the longest. A lot of the members in the band used to play in a cover group together where we had various like residencies like the Heritage Grill and a lot of New West events and stuff. And we did that for quite a while. We've been playing together for 15 years or so. And then about 2 or 3 years ago, we decided that we kind of want to do more original music and less of kind of the covers, kind of free jamming kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where this band's come from. So it's been really exciting to see, after really only like a year or so putting effort into the band and building it, just like all of it come together and being able to play a few sets a night and stuff, and it's been nice. Yeah,
Yeah. So that's the beginning of your band. What kind of music were you doing, like, besides, like, free jamming? Was there any specific kind of artist that you focused on when you were doing covers and stuff?
All sorts of stuff, for sure. Like, all the bangers, you know?
Yeah.
Different genres.
Yeah, it was
depending
actually...
Depending on the crowd.
Yeah, a bit of a, unusual thing. We were kind of a bit... We were instrumental, kind of more jazz-focused, jam-focused band, but just because of the nature of the way we are and who our friends are and stuff, we never actually really play like jazz standards. So we'd play like Taylor Swift or like classic rock covers or
Nirvana.
And we would do like California Love. Like, it is like the song choices were always pretty unorthodox for kind of a jazz band, but they were definitely songs people always knew. So it kind of, that was kind of where we kind of like, I guess, paid dues and stuff. I don't know. Yeah. So that was always fun. Yeah.
Before we got live on air, you were talking about like plans and stuff. You were discussing that you're finishing up like your tour dates and stuff, and that you were hoping to record in the winter. I'm curious to hear about like if you have this background in like improvisational music and drawing from all sorts of different genres. How do you approach getting ready to prep to record to write?
Ooh, that's a good one. That is a good question. I don't know. It kind of varies by project. We're involved in, you know, so many things over the years, and even right now we have, you know, a couple projects on the go, Sourdough being one of them, that I've stopped putting myself in the headspace for each one and just kind of existing in between all of them.
I think creatively, though, getting ready to record, one of the things that I'm excited about with this session is that we've had the opportunity to play live and test a lot of these songs and try them out. There's definitely a few that have gone, I've been undergoing changes over the course of the summer, and like even last night in our rehearsal we were changing a couple of them again just to kind of really finally lock in on them and stuff, and it's nice out there playing them and seeing people respond to them and which ones people are into, and like you know, you kind of think you're one type of band, and then you go and play and you kind of see like, oh, everyone liked the songs I didn't think were the best, you know, and then you're like, oh, maybe we're actually that type of band. So I think that's been kind of a fun process this summer. I think like going into recording, I'm kind of excited to have that experience and opportunity to kind of improve the songs and like the things we're doing. It's kind of interesting you asked about the improvisational thing, and the more you kind of play the song, sort of the less improvisational they get, you know? And, like, that's kind of an interesting aspect of being in an improvisational band is, like, you know, it's if your whole song's a jam, it's, like, eventually it's not really a song anymore. Like, people come to hear the song on the record, and, like, you just do a totally free jam that's different, call it the same thing. Like, you kind of have to play a certain part of the song or certain parts of that people recognize or whatever. And so... Yeah, it's in a weird way, it slowly becomes less improvisational. We still leave room for solos and stuff like that, and little jam opportunities, but definitely the more we play them, the more kind of fine-tuned they also get, and everyone gets really excited about little parts, and so that's fun.
You know, I think it's just really interesting to hear about how people who you explore, like, any kind of improvisational music, right? Because, you know, I have friends of mine that jam out things or are very... traditional need to write it out on staff paper before they even approach it, even if it is like improvisational music. And it's interesting to see how you guys approach it. I was just hoping I could play some of your music today. So I'm hoping to start off with Water Temple. I would love to hear about the writing process or the story of what made this tune.
You wrote the song for the most part.
Yeah, for the most part. I guess our drummer at the time kind of actually came in with the main kind of boop, 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 boop kind of like lick that forms most of the song. But that was kind of all he had for it. And we kind of, I was kind of writing a bunch of the other music at the time just to kind of get music written for the band. So I was actually writing quite a bit of it on like staff paper, like lead charts and chords so that I could give it out to people and just kind of get the ball rolling. And, so I just kind of finished that song. It had this like twinkly thing, and I just thought of in my head it was like swans or some type of bird is like the melody, and it just kind of got this water image. And I've, over time writing songs, you kind of like write, you'll like make a demo of a song and you have to title it, and then that's where the problem comes in, because then it's like if you just like made a chord progression, like I like this chord progression, it's like I can't write another song just called like A minor jam, you know what I mean? So it's like I got to think of something memorable for this title. So I've started just giving songs titles like really aggressively early on, just so that like they stick out in my notepad and save files and stuff. So yeah, Run Me Like a Water, I just named it Water Temple and just kept writing it, yeah.
And before we get into it, I'm curious, because we'll chat about it after the song break. You mentioned like the swan thing in your head. Are you like a synesthesia person? Are you like very visual?
Yeah, actually, technically, I think I am synesthetic. Yeah. People do kind of fuck with me about that. Or I should probably be sorry. My bad. But yeah, I do have the synesthesia thing. Yeah.
You know, that's really interesting. So we're going to get into it. This is Water Temple by Sarah Dope.
Okay. A little slip there. At least I said it super fast, so maybe I was talking about that.
Hello, everybody. It's Hallie here. We're back live in studio with some lovely musicians. That song you just heard was by them. That was called Water Temple by Sour Dope. Just to introduce you back, we're talking about touring, we're talking about writing, we're talking about recording, and our lovely friends from Sour Dope are just getting back from, or just about to play two shows tomorrow in New West and Chilliwack.
Yeah.
Perfect. How do you guys, like, approach, like, getting ready for your shows and prepping, again, as I'm going to keep saying it, improvisational musicians?